Hello, friends. Welcome to the special edition of Friendly Show. Today, we are all in the Balkans. We are in Sofia, Bulgaria, on the Balkan Ruby Conference. And today, I have two speakers visiting.
Come on.
I got Adrian, who just gave a talk, and I've got Irina from Evil Martians. Ooh. Hello, Irina.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Yeah, excited to be with you, as always.
Yeah. So, welcome.
So we're at Balkan Ruby, which is the slogan is back in business, because the Balkan Ruby conference is back in business, and the whole theme is about business. So we have a lot of people that are having businesses with Ruby and with the development, sharing their stories, right? You opened the conference and shared about how you can do it with consulting. And you can, you spun off any cable and you're doing business there with like an open core business. I spoke about my business with Avo. What do you think about the other talks as well? Like, what do you think about like the different approaches that that all of us kind of have?
Yeah, I really like the idea of conferences specializing on something, not just Ruby, right? We now have, for example, Balkan Ruby specializing on the business side of things. We also had Rails SaaS, right? Which was also sort of more about business and maybe SaaS products built with Rails. But this one is, but we don't have that this year, first of all. And then I like the idea that we can be here talk about consulting or products. So many people do this.
Yeah.
Yourself is consulting, right? And so yourself, you are an educator and consultant, right?
Yes. So I've got the Superrails YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I've previously created a few courses on Udemy and on Gumroad, and I do consulting for clients.
Yeah. So and that's, somebody recently told me that there's something entrepreneurial about Rubyists, that Rubyists in general are.
Yeah.
This is cool. I like sharing. And yeah.
Well, maybe because it's easier to create a startup MVP in the Rails than in some Java stuff.
That's true.
I agree.
Yeah, and I quite liked the talk about like monetizing open source, which was like super like distilled like every type of open source, kind of monetization that you can think of. He started from tips like about like tips and how you can sponsor a project, all the way to like enterprise kind of like companies that do it. And it was quite cool.
I agree, that was a great talk. And what I think the takeaway from Bozhidar's standpoint, the way I understood him for himself is like he was trying to say, look, I'm not really commercializing this project, but kind of I will create my own limits, right, to the level of my involvement, and to try to stay sane.
He's doing open source for the sake of open sourceness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it makes sense, because RubyCup is so popular.
Yeah.
The fact that it cannot survive in donations at all. Like donations are not cutting it at all for RubyCup, something as popular as RubyCup. That's crazy. But I mean, we've known that before, but it's refreshing to kind of hear those stories again.
And another thing, like from your talk about the fact that you should be like a node for like an engine for like helping your customers meet other customers and introducing people. And I think this is what's happening here right now. Like people are asking me like, oh, how hard it was, like what did you do then, what did you do now, because I did this and I did that. And I think this is such a nice cross-pollination of like ideas and like experience, right? That you don't get like any
Actually, I wrote down my three like summary bullet points from your talk. So they were create opportunities to customers and people around you. Number one priority, be useful. Number two priority, make a deal. Mm-hmm. And make your customers be irrational towards you.
That pretty much summarizes it. But the idea was that you kind of you want to have this really good foundation of your business by being able to build relationships around you, like with your clients and for beyond. Because so many people, they finish the deal or they're going to sign the contract, they finish the contract, and then there's no continuation because they're not building a relationship with the customers.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you think about, Adrian, you remember how we first met? Do you remember our first call?
Yes, I was in Vilnius back then.
When was that?
It was last year, I think.
No.
March, April.
It's not the last year, Adrian. Our very first Zoom call. You don't remember? I remember it. Okay, you forgot. You were pitching Ava to me, to Evil Martians.
Not I was at Yuruko, but I was in Vilnius at a meetup.
It was 2021. I didn't know.
Okay.
Like years ago, seriously. I remember thinking, you know what I thought back then? I thought, first of all, of course, I didn't know that much about you and your business. But second of all, I thought you are not charging enough. That I thought you say that your product is going to save days, maybe weeks of work, maybe months, right? Because if you dedicate work on building the same functionality, it's going to take
a lot.
But then you're only charging, you were charging something like a few hundred.
50 or something per year.
And that was like, doesn't kind of make sense.
I got that feedback.
And you can learn a lesson from charging a good price from Andrew Culver.
Yes.
Like Bullet Chain, 5 years ago, it was already charging, I assume, $1,500.
$1,500,
So like, I'm giving you value.
Yep.
And the price shows that that you will get value.
It's true, right? That this they claim is sort of true and everything is.
And I got this feedback before that it has to be some correlation between like the value and the price. It does, like people don't believe, like it's too magic. Like, are you going to save me that much time and charge it this little? What's the catch here? Is that are you lying? And we learned that lesson and we, played around with
this. But also what Bajadar said about commercialization, that people get a lot of sort of hate outlash for releasing commercial versions.
Yes.
Is it your experience?
Like there's this community where it's very big with Rails, I won't name it. And when I started out, I didn't know anyone. So my thought was like, I'm going to go to the big community. And I said, they're like, hey, I have this thing, Ava, which is like, a panel. It has a free version, it has a paid version. And immediately, like, oh my God, this is promotion. Get out of here. Put it in, like, they had a special promotion channel. Like,
ping
it
out, or you'd
be kicked. And somebody, like, really, like, told me things like, oh, but how do others do it for free? And why do you charge? You're stealing from us and whatever. And, like, Andrew Culver popped up on, because they mentioned him. And he popped up and said, like, hey, it's okay if you charge. Like, we couldn't make it for free if we didn't charge all this time.
Yep.
So it's like, I think we need a little bit of education around this thing that, hey, it's okay to charge something for something like that.
I agree. I think there's almost like a stigma in some communities, including maybe Rails community. I hope it's actually Sidekick is doing a lot for the community and like normalizing the idea that okay, the product is a commercial product.
Yes.
But it kind of solves so many problems for you. Yeah. The way I think about this is like open source has two sides. One side is freedom of expression, freedom of doing what you want, right? And sort of so this free, when you're doing something like open source without expectations, for free, for fun, out of passion, this is great.
Yeah.
But also people around you should kind of not expect you to
fix all their problems,
to kind of stop being free, you do something like Bajadar says, I will fix the issue if it concerns me, if I'm on the same pain, if I want, if I need to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then there's no obligation.
Yeah.
There's no obligation to do work for other people.
Yeah, I agree.
But then there is a sort of commercial dual licensing, commercial open source, and it's different. It's where we build things for other people, right? We kind of follow their lead.
But I think you should be also right with the messaging. You shouldn't be like Redis, like
Yeah.
pulling the plug.
Oh
No.
yeah, that's the worst, right? When you sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say bad things, but let's say change your mind in the
Well,
middle of, yeah.
so we all like Redis is super hot right now, and they were about them changing everything.
Hashi.
Hashing, yeah, but it kind of like you kind of see like how others, you know, like Amazon and other services, they kind of like stealing it or something. You know, they try to create services based on that, and so basically now it means that I, or whatever Redis, that I cannot make money out of my project. So there should be some protection there.
I mean, what if tomorrow Amazon opens a new service, Amazon Avo,
Yes,
and it
exactly.
lets people build
Yeah.
apps based on Avo?
Exactly.
But then Avo has extended features in Avo Pro.
Exactly. Yeah.
So as a, like any cable is also
Yeah.
we with any cable we're trying to keep everything that is kind of for single node usage in an open source version.
Yeah.
And then if you, when you have a cluster, this
Yeah.
means you are a bigger organization,
Exactly.
and this is a pro version.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
You're definitely building for something bigger, for a team or for a customer or somebody with that need that has, money, so it's okay to monetize it.
Yeah.
So you've reached that threshold.
And it's kind of huge. It actually has to be pretty huge
Yeah.
to for you to need a cluster of any cables.
So it
Because
makes
like
sense.
one
So it makes
is
sense.
one is sufficient
Yeah.
for a bunch of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. But something I was also thinking is I actually wrote a tweet about it that you know that open source doesn't need your donations.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I meant is they're never enough. I mean, of course it's a good thing to have donations. The problem is when people hope that donations will
Be a
turn things
sample.
around,
Yeah.
right, for them. It never happens. And it's so what I think what and Marco commented, Xavier commented, like there was some discussion, and they said, and what I proposed is that I want companies to I want to know who's using the open source. I want the companies to be open in return, to kind of say, yeah, by default, we will disclose that we're using the products.
Yes, and some of the funds are just going to go there. They're going to help the project.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then they will reach out to the maintainers more often. This is what it.
But like, should I disclose that I'm using the gem device? Should I disclose that I'm using the Avo? Should I like have an open gem file and like list of
That'd
services
be
that
cool.
my app is using?
Yeah, that'd be actually cool. I mean, of course, I understand there are even in Cable Pro, we have one company that, I mean, we have many companies that are not disclosing that they're using us.
Yeah.
But one company specifically, they said for security reasons, they cannot disclose their stack.
Of course.
I understand that for sure. But like by default, most companies, they're not disclosing it because for this, right?
Yeah,
And
just yeah.
you're still disclosing your stack in job openings.
Of course.
You say, I'm looking for Rails engineers. It's kind of obvious that you have
Yeah.
Rails.
Experience in this and this particular test in
Yeah,
Rails.
yeah.
But there could be
Quite
some
Kafka.
tooling to anonymize someone. Like, you don't have to disclose that publicly, but you could say, would you like GitHub, like, would you like to let Anycable know that you are using them? And you could say, okay, yes, of course. And that would be like a secret between you two, and you get some usage out
Also,
of
yeah, maybe that, but I'd want this to be by default, you know?
it. Actually, I've seen the checkbox in a few services that, like, when you sign up the paid version, you agree to have
Yeah.
your company like listed in the list of users.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, I saw
That's nice fun. You can add it to your terms of service.
Yeah,
Yep.
I'm actually thinking about this.
So you can make it like opt out.
Yeah,
Yes.
opt-out, yeah. But you know what? When you have, so the paid users, for some reason, they give you much, they are accustomed to the idea of telemetry, for example. Like analytics or something, like sending you some usage data. They're accustomed to, and kind of getting your emails. They're accustomed to it,
It's a
right?
little bit different. Yeah, it's
And then open source, in open source, you have sort of nothing that I don't like.
it should be open, free, and I should be using it however I want it, and that's it.
Never
That's
give you
it.
credit,
Never,
never,
never. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
never,
Which
never.
is
This is, I think, right? It just, it can. I think maybe even rebalancing the credit. I mean, the idea that you at least say that
yeah.
you're using this product.
Yeah.
Maybe even, I'd prefer public, but okay. Maybe even that alone could, you know, change the
help out, yeah.
Yeah, the balance.
It's a one way, kind of like a one way street.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you listed Ruby Gems, use Avo, I was like, wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's
yeah,
prestigious.
Yeah,
it's precision. Yeah,
I reached out to them, so everything was consensual.
Yeah, but you don't know who else is using the open source version, and maybe it's
yeah.
some cool. I remember.
Maybe Apple is.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I
mean,
can't talk
do,
about,
they,
I know about big clients that
okay.
everybody knows, but I can't talk
I
about
I know that Apple has some services in Ruby.
I met the guy in Brazil that works at Apple, at the Tropical RV, so they do have some Ruby, some Rails apps in there, yeah.
Yeah, I met a recruiter who's recruiting people, Rubyists for Apple, so she said they do, like a logistics, they acquired a company that was doing logistics, and there,
okay.
when you can trade in,
yes,
iPhone,
yes,
this
yes.
is the service,
yes.
So the iPhone, then there's some logistics after you.
I almost interviewed for that job,
seriously,
nice, attribution, that would be some,
yeah, attribution, and maybe then I think I know people don't like, I don't know, what do you think? I think consulting helps. What I'm trying to say is I sometimes see people who build a product and they never use it themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Dog feeding. Yeah.
And when you consult, you know, for the clients who are using the product, you see, like what we do with the Martians a lot, we see how the product has been used, how it's been kind of misused,
yeah.
how it's been misconfigured. Anyway,
and that information is so powerful,
right?
So valuable, because
yeah.
you get to improve your product.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
You get
and
to...
and then you run into problems yourself using your product.
Yes.
So you immediately improve.
Yes.
So I think consulting is not a bad thing, especially in, I don't know. Imagine your product is a side project,
yeah.
and you earn money with consulting. So better consult, you know, on something related to your product.
Yeah.
Sort of.
That's a win-win.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah, I also think
it's great
because people can specialize in something.
Yeah.
Okay. So Irina, thanks.
So we solved the sustainability of open source. Now it's up to.
Just like this.
What's awesome. Next?
Yeah.
Irina, thanks for joining us for this mini episode, and let's go see the next talk.
Exactly. Yeah.
See you guys.
Excited. Thanks.
Okay. So
that was fun.